Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, today we're in the final week of this four-part series that we've called God With Us, and this is your first time with us today. So glad you chose to join us. I just want to catch you up real quick on where we've been over the last few weeks. Those of us who believe that Jesus was the Son of God believe that Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us, which means we believe that God was with us 2,000 years ago when Jesus was physically here, and that God will be with us again when Jesus physically returns someday. But what about in the meantime? I mean, is God with us in the meantime? Is God with you and me today? Well, according to Jesus, and as you've heard me say before, any guy who can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, I kind of go with whatever he says. According to Jesus, the answer is yes. According to Jesus, God is with us. God is with you and me today in the meantime through the Holy Spirit residing within us. The night that Jesus was unjustly arrested by the Jewish religious leaders and then ultimately crucified on a Roman cross the next day, he gathered his 12 disciples together for one final Jewish Passover meal. We now call it the Last Supper. And right toward the end of his time with them that evening, he told them, he said, I'm no longer physically going to be with you because I'm going back to my heavenly Father. And then he said this, recording in John 16, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. And here's why. Because unless I go away, the advocate, whom he described earlier that evening as the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus promised them and he promised us that it was for their good and for our good that he was going away. Because after he left, he would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with and to reside within every one of his followers, every single person who put their faith in him from that point forward. But the question they were left asking and the question we're left asking is, how is this for our good? Jesus, why is this better than you actually physically being with us? Well, Jesus and the writers of Scripture, they talk about the Holy Spirit a lot and identify many things he does in us and for us and through us. However, during the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples that he was sending his Spirit to be God with us for three specific reasons. And it's because of those three specific reasons why at the end of his time with them that night, he said it was for their good and for our good that he went away. So, for your good, for my good, for our good throughout the series, we're looking at each of those three reasons. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the first reason that Jesus sent his Spirit to be God with us, which is to comfort us with peace that only he could produce within us. And then last week, we looked at the second reason, which is to convict a lost and sinful world, to convict you, to convict me of our sin. Before I dive into the third reason, that during the Last Supper that Jesus said he was sending his Spirit to be God with us, I want to talk quickly about a phrase that's really frustrating to some of us. And that phrase is, God told me. That phrase is so frustrating for some of us because we want to see God, we want to feel God, we want to hear from God, but we don't feel like we ever have or we ever do. And people will tell you, well, just go pray about it. They say things like, God will lead you, God will show you, and you want to believe that. So you pray, you ask God for direction, you plead for him to tell you what to do, you try to listen, but silence. You hear, well, nothing. And you want to hear from God. You're trying to, but it feels like he's distant. He's unavailable. He's uninterested. He's not answering. He's not really with you. So every time you hear someone say, God told me, on one hand, you're going, well, why not me? Like, why doesn't he speak to me? Like, what's wrong with me? And on the other hand, you don't believe him. You're like, really? God spoke to you? Like, how do you know it was him? Like, did you hear a verbal voice from heaven? Like, I mean, we've all thought that before. You want to see God. You want to hear God, and you're trying to, but nothing. Silence, and you're frustrated, and you're discouraged. And like, come on, let's be honest. Some of you are even losing your faith because of it. Well, here's the thing. God told me is not just a Christian cliche. God told me is a reality that you can experience. That desire you have to hear from God, to recognize his voice, to feel his guidance, to know his will, is actually one of the reasons that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be God with us, to be God with you. And here's how Jesus said it during the Last Supper, starting in chapter 15, John chapter 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify or speak or bear witness or proclaim about me. Earlier during dinner, Jesus told his disciples in John 14, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Which means, according to Jesus, truth is not just a concept or a set of belief. Truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. So Jesus is saying, when my Spirit, when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will speak, reveal, and testify the truth of who I am. The truth that I am the Son of God. The truth of what I came to do. The truth of what my death and resurrection means for every single person. The truth of what I will do. The truth about God. The truth about you. The truth of my teachings, my promises, and my principles. The truth of what I want you to know. The truth of what I want to lead you into today. The truth of my ongoing work in your life. The truth for how to follow me. And then, a few paragraphs later, he reiterated and clarified this a little bit more. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Meaning, he will lead you step by step into all truth about me. Into all truth I have proclaimed to you. Into all truth I want to proclaim to you. Into all truth of your heavenly Father's will for you. Into all truth for how to follow me, the truth. He goes on. He will not speak on his own. He will speak to who? To you. Only what he hears. And he will tell who? You. What is yet to come. He will glorify me. And I imagine Jesus stopping right there and going, hey, by the way, that's the ultimate reason I'm sending my Spirit for, to glorify me. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. He's saying, whatever he hears from me, he will reveal to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known, what he will reveal, what he will speak to you. Jesus is saying, I'm sending my Spirit to guide you, to speak to you, to counsel you, to lead you in to all truth. Now, you need to know this promise was initially given to the disciples who were in the room with Jesus that night and was fulfilled in them when they personally wrote or oversaw the writing of Scripture, which we now call the New Testament. However, like with everything else Jesus said during the Last Supper, this promise can and should be applied to every follower of Christ today, to every single one of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. During the Last Supper, the third reason Jesus said it was for their good and our good that he went away was so he could send the Holy Spirit to be God with us to lead. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to reside within his followers, to be God with us as our counselor, as our guide, to lead us to Jesus, to lead us to follow Jesus, to speak, to make known, to reveal, to give direction and wisdom and discernment on how Jesus is inviting us to take a next step, to follow him today in this situation, in this area of our lives, in this struggle, in this relationship, in this decision, in order to glorify God. The reason it is for your good and for my good and for our good that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into taking next steps to follow him is because of something that you've heard me say 1,000 times if you've been a part of Relevant for any period of time. And that is that transformation happens by following Jesus one next step at a time. This is how Jesus said it, which is recorded a little bit earlier in the book of John, chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, if you actively follow me, the truth, one next step at a time, you are really my disciples. You are truly one of my followers. Then you will know the truth, me. And the truth, me, will set you free. Will set you free from the power and bondage of sin, set you free to have the fruit of the Spirit produced in you, set you free to continually be filled with the Spirit, set you free to be transformed into everything God's created you to be, set you free to experience the presence of God with you, set you free to hear and feel the Holy Spirit guiding you, set you free to know God's will for you, set you free to live it out, set you free ultimately to glorify God in all that you are and all that you do." Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be God with and within his followers, to guide us, to speak to us, to counsel us, and to lead us to Jesus and into taking next steps to follow Jesus. For those of us who are followers of Christ, for those of you who have put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and declaring that you are following him as the leader of your life, as your Lord, the Holy Spirit is leading you and is speaking to you and me all the time. And some of you go, "No, he isn't. If he was speaking to me, I'd know it. I've never heard him." And the reality is yes, you have. And one of the reasons you may think you haven't is because you haven't heard a booming voice from heaven. I haven't heard a booming voice from heaven either. Never, not once. And that's because that's not how God has chosen to speak to and to lead you and me today. He's chosen to do it in a much more personal and subtle way through the Holy Spirit who resides within us. From my experience and from what the writers of Scripture communicate, here's how the Holy Spirit most often guides, speaks to, and leads us. First, the Holy Spirit often leads us by giving us a sense of peace, by filling us with a deep sense of peace. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, that sense of shalom, or a lack of peace that something just isn't right. Second, through conviction, through an uncomfortable nudge, a conviction that you should start or you should stop. We talked about that last week. Third, through internal promptings of ought to. Internal promptings and stirrings that you ought to do something, and you know you never would have thought of that or came up with that on your own. You feel like you ought to, and you don't know why. And many times, you don't want to. And finally, through whispers. Through quiet thoughts, impressions, and whispers that come to mind out of nowhere. That sound like you, but you know aren't from you. Because there's no reason you would ever think that, think about that, consider that, or even want to do that. This isn't an exhaustive list right here, but from my experience, these are how the Holy Spirit most often guides, speaks to, and leads us today. And the most common avenues through which we position ourselves to hear and to feel him leading us in these ways are, first, Scripture. The Bible is described as God's word to us. God's word to us. The Holy Spirit led the writers of Scripture what to write, And now, through all the truth that he has already revealed and spoken to the writers of Scripture, is the primary way that he leads and speaks to you and to me today. Which is why I'm constantly urging and inviting and challenging you to read the Bible and to by yourself and to consistently put yourself in environments that expose you to practical biblical teaching. Sunday mornings, middle school students rooted, high school students youth united. If you've ever been reading scripture or listening to a sermon and you felt this overwhelming sense of conviction or felt inspired to take a next step to follow Jesus or felt that internal like, I can't even believe I'm thinking this, but I just feel like I ought to. That was the Holy Spirit leading you. You can now say, God told me. Second, prayer. Through prayer, we pour out our hearts to God and we create the space for him to speak to us. And some of you are going, well, I pray, but I've never heard anything. I never feel anything. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever stop talking? When you pray, do you ever stop talking? One of the reasons we don't hear is we're always talking. We're always telling him what we want and never asking what he wants and never stopping long enough to listen. Listen, if you truly want to hear the quiet whispers of the Holy Spirit, if you truly want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to start praying two questions over and over and over and over and over again every single day. And here's the two questions. First, God, what will glorify you? In this area of my life, in this decision, as I'm navigating through this, what will glorify you? And then listen and pay attention to the convictions, to the ought to's, to the whispers. And here's the second question. God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? This is what I challenge all of us to pray over the past few months in regards to your generosity as we kicked off Unfinished. And you know what happened? Many of us heard and felt the Holy Spirit leading in a way we never have before because we stopped talking and we started asking what he would have us do. Third, others. And not just anyone. But people who have the Holy Spirit residing within them because they put their faith in Jesus. People who are truly following Jesus. People who are continually choosing to be filled with the Spirit. We say all the time around here, transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Transformation doesn't happen in isolation. And we say that because one of the primary ways the Holy Spirit speaks to and leads us is through one another. Which is why we encourage everyone to be connected into a smaller community of people. Rooted students, rooted small group, high school students, Youth United small group, college students and adults, T-Life group. Listen, if you've ever experienced a peace that transcends all understanding through a word of encouragement from someone, if you've ever heard the quiet whisper, take that step, when someone was giving you counsel, if you've ever felt convicted when someone was challenging you, that was probably God with you. Next, worship. If during times of worship, whether it be on Sunday mornings or at Encounter or when you're listening to worship music in your car, if ever during times of worship you have felt convicted, you became overwhelmed with a sense of peace, you just can't shake that lyric and feel a nudging and a stirring because of it, chances are, that was the Holy Spirit with you, guiding you, leading you. And finally, silence and solitude. Through spending time alone with God in silence. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how all day long, we're constantly choosing to fill our minds with noise and clutter and everything but with what produces the peace of God within us. And yet we still wonder why our lives are seemingly void of God's presence. void of God's voice, void of experiencing God with us. And I've said it every week. You and I have as much God in our lives as we want. We have as much God in our lives as we choose. And that's why I personally have made it a practice to spend time with God every single morning. Every single morning, I get up at 5 o'clock and I spend the first half hour to hour of my day by myself, reading scripture, praying, and in silence, trying to listen. And what's the craziest thing about this is many times when I'm just sitting there in silence and solitude, spending time with God, someone will just come to my mind, out of nowhere, just come to my mind. And a few years ago, this started happening a lot. And I started thinking, maybe the Holy Spirit is like whispering that person onto my mind. Like, maybe. Like, I don't know, but I don't know where that, I no reason to think of that person. And so maybe the, I would start to pray for those people, and then I would text people. Say, hey, man, you came to my mind. I wasn't like weird about it. Like, God put you on my, like, hey, you came to my mind this morning, so I spent some time praying for you. Is there anything I can pray for you? If I felt like I was supposed to pray for him a certain way, I just prayed for him a certain way. Over the years, I have come to recognize that that is the Holy Spirit's whispering, because I can't tell you how many times someone will text back, how did you know? How did you know? I was like, well, I get paid to know. No, it's like, I'm gonna say that's weird. You're like, how did you know? I was like, I didn't know. I just heard a whisper. And some of you have gotten those texts. And when you've gotten those texts from me or someone else, it's just like, oh, you just came to my mind. What does that do to you and your heart? But that never happens without silence and solitude. It never happens without silence and solitude. Here's another story of one morning not that long ago, within the last year, of what happened in my mornings of silence and solitude. And by the way, there's many mornings where I hear nothing. Many mornings where I feel nothing. But I would never hear anything if I don't ever get there. One morning I'm sitting there and silence and solitude. And you guys know we just spent the last few months, launching this whole Unfinished journey, this two-year generosity initiative that we called Unfinished. What you don't know is that we were originally supposed to launch it in the spring, this past spring. We've been working on this for 2 years. We originally had it all planned and put together to launch this last April instead of just last month. And one morning I'm in just spending time with God, and I'm just praying, spending time reading scripture, and just trying to sit in a few minutes of silence. And all of a sudden, and I was praying about this, and all of a sudden I got a huge check in my heart. Like huge, like check, like this is wrong. This is wrong. We should not do it. We should not do it right now. We should wait. And if you guys know me, I never wait on anything. I'm the most impatient person ever. But I was like, we should wait. We should wait. And I'm like, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait, because I know that like everything we feel like God wants us to do through Unfinished, like if we wait, it's that much longer for it to happen. So I'm like, I don't want to wait. But day after day, every time I was in silence and solitude, just spending time with God and praying, I just kept having this check in my heart. We need to wait. We need to wait. We need to wait. And so I was like, I think that's God. So I just like, okay, God, I'll surrender. We'll wait. Came to the team the next week, had the team gather together, and I'm like, guys, I told them the story, have a check in my heart. We just need to wait. We need to wait until the fall to do this. And they're like, I was like, October, November. And they're like, I'm glad you're hearing from God, Ronnie, but there's an election happening right then. Like, that's probably a bad idea. And I'm like, I know it's a bad idea. But I don't have a piece we're supposed to do it right now. And I have a piece we should do it then. And if God wants us to do this, God's bigger than an election. He can do whatever he wants to do. But I wasn't sure. I was like, was that God? I don't know. And then something happened in April, right in the middle of when we were going to be doing Unfinished, called a tornado. When the tornado came through, it came right in the middle of when we would have been doing Unfinished, right in the middle of it. So when we got to this fall, and there were some people criticizing me and criticizing us for doing Unfinished during the election. Don't you know there's an election going on right now? Like, no, I had no idea. Like, thanks for informing me, you know? Like, isn't this a bad time? I had total peace. Total peace. I didn't have peace then. Now, guys, imagine if I'd have dismissed that check in my heart. Imagine if I would have dismissed it. We'd have never responded like in the tornado like we would have, like we did. And I don't believe we would have had $16.9 committed. But it just came from a check in my heart that I knew was not right. I did not have peace. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to reside within his followers, to be God with us as our counselor, as our guide, to lead us to Jesus, to lead us to follow Jesus, to speak, to make known, to reveal, to give direction, wisdom, discernment on how Jesus is inviting us to take a next step to follow him today in this situation, in this area of our lives, in this struggle, in this relationship, in this decision. And I want to remind you of something I've said every single week throughout this series, that experiencing God with us is a choice. I believe you're here because you want to experience God with you today. In the meantime, you want to hear from God. You want to recognize his voice. You want to feel and hear his guidance. You want to know his will. And that's what your heavenly Father wants for you as well. That's why Jesus sent his Spirit. But experiencing God with us is a choice. So as you look at these avenues, let me ask you, are you choosing to position yourself for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to lead you? If not, and if you really want to experience God with you, choose to take the next step to position yourself to. Now, here's the reality. You can choose to do all of these things. You can choose to do all these things and still not hear the Holy Spirit guiding you, speaking to you, or leading you. And what I say next is so important. Please do not miss what I say next. If you hear nothing else I said, T-Life Group, shut up. They make fun of me for saying that. If you hear nothing else I said, hear what I'm saying next. The more we want to follow, the more the Holy Spirit will lead. The more we want to follow, the more the Holy Spirit will lead. The more we want to follow Jesus, the more open and receptive we are to however the Holy Spirit is leading us, then the more the Holy Spirit will guide, speak to, and lead us. Let's go back to what Jesus said in John 8. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, if you want to, and if you are choosing to actively follow me, you are really my disciples. And then there's this big word. Then, not before, but then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The more we want to follow, the more the Holy Spirit will lead. What do you do when you have a lack of peace that something just isn't right? When you feel convicted that you should stop or you should start? When you have that internal prompting and stirring that you ought to. When you have a thought come to your mind out of nowhere that you need to go do that, what do you do? Now, come on, let's be honest. What many of us often do is just dismiss it. Oh, it's not comfortable. It's not convenient. It doesn't make sense. We don't want to. It'll be too hard. We don't see the point. It was probably just me. I had a bad burrito yesterday and I'm thinking weird thoughts. So we dismiss it, we ignore it, and we stay frustrated that we never hear from God speaking to or leading us. And I imagine God saying, I'm trying to. I'm trying to. Hey guys, if we keep dismissing him, at some point we'll stop feeling and hearing him altogether, which is exactly what some of us are experiencing right now. The more we want to follow, the more the Holy Spirit will lead. There's one short sentence in Psalm 119, Old Testament book of Psalm, chapter 119, that we should all commit to memory, and here it is. Your word, referring to the truth, promises, will, word of God, your word, God, that you want to reveal to us, He wants to reveal to us, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Now, we don't use lamps very often, so let me show you how a lamp works. Go ahead and turn that light off. With a lamp, it's not a flashlight. It's not a spotlight. A lamp, you can only see your next step. Now, you can't see way, way, way down the path. You only have enough light to see the next step that's in front of you. The Holy Spirit is always leading us to take the next step to follow Jesus. A next step. He doesn't reveal every next step of the journey. He leads us one next step at a time. How he leads is a lamp for our feet. You can go ahead and turn those lights back on as I go through the color settings of this. And therein lies the problem. We pray, we ask, we plead with God to speak to us and to show us his will way down the path. But how he leads is a lamp for our feet. We get frustrated because we don't feel like we're hearing from him, but how he leads is a lamp for our feet. We wonder why he isn't speaking to us, but it's likely he already has. And we've dismissed him, and we ignored him, and he doesn't need to, and he doesn't want to tell us anything else until we take the next step to follow Jesus, how he has already led us. We pray, and we pray, and we pray for God to show us his will for our lives. But his will is for you and for me to take the next step today. The next step to follow Jesus and forgive that person that you've already felt convicted to forgive. To do what he's leading you to do in regard to your generosity. To call that person who's been on your mind. To invite that person you've been feeling a prompting that you ought to. To do what you felt inspired to do 2 months ago when you were listening to that one sermon. To follow through on what was impressed on you, on your mind that one morning. To go to counseling with your wife like you feel convicted to do. To stop doing what you have a check in your heart over. How the Holy Spirit leads is a lamp for our feet. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be God with us, to speak, to make known, to reveal, to lead us into how Jesus is inviting us to take a next step to follow him today. Today. And the more we want to follow, the more the Holy Spirit will lead. When we don't want to follow Jesus today, when we choose not to take the next step the Holy Spirit is leading us to take today, when we dismiss and ignore how the Holy Spirit is leading us today, we're choosing to resist the Holy Spirit, which means we're choosing to not continually be filled with the Spirit, which prevents us from experiencing God with us. And that's not what you want. And that's not what God wants for you either. So let me ask you, how is the Holy Spirit leading you today? He's leading you in some way. Or he already has led you in some way. Will you take the next step to follow him regardless of how uncomfortable, inconvenient, or hard it is? You want to. You want to because you want to hear from God. You want to feel his guidance. You want to know his will. Well, the more we want to follow, the more the Holy Spirit will lead. Let me just say something else just real quick. As soon as you think the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, I encourage you to ask a few questions to ensure it's actually him. The worst thing we can do as followers of Christ is conclude the Holy Spirit is speaking to and leading us when it's actually ourselves, our desires, our wants, our brokenness, our selfishness, our upbringing, or the lies that we believe that's leading us and that's speaking to us and that's guiding us. So here's four filter questions to help determine if what you think the Holy Spirit is speaking to or leading you into is actually from Him. First, is it true? Does it align with the principles, the promises, the ways, the will, the truth of God that He has revealed to us through the writers of Scripture? If not, it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Second, is it wise? If it's foolish and it will cause any harm, regret, or hurt to you or anyone else, it's not the Holy Spirit. And third, is it glorifying to God? Once again, in John 16, Jesus said the ultimate purpose He sent His Spirit was to glorify Him. So if it does not glorify God, it's not the Holy Spirit. If you can't say yes to all three of these, I guarantee it's not the Holy Spirit who's leading. It's you or something else that's leading. Recently, I had a young man come to me and said, "Man, I really feel like God's leading me to move in with my girlfriend." I looked back at him and said, "No, He's not." He said, "How do you know?" That's how I know. Now, here's one more question. And this question, I didn't know where to put it in the sermon, so I decided to put it here. This is just a really helpful question. Who benefits the most from this? You guys, listen. If every time you say, "God told me," it always seems to benefit you, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's probably you. Because God does not exist for your glory. And the Holy Spirit does not lead for your glory. The Holy Spirit exists for God's glory. And sometimes that doesn't always seem beneficial to us today. So let me ask you again. How is the Holy Spirit leading you today? However He is, take the next step to follow. Take the next step because you want to experience God with you. Now, for some of you, I believe the Holy Spirit is leading you to put your faith in Jesus. You've never put your faith in Jesus. You've never asked Him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. But you felt or you're currently feeling this stirring, this prompting that you ought to. That's the Holy Spirit guiding, speaking to, and leading you. Don't resist Him. You can choose to receive Him today. You can choose to receive Him right now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to close the series by saying thank You, Jesus, for sending Your Spirit to be with and reside within us as Your followers, to counsel us, to lead us, to comfort us, to convict us. I just personally thank You as just a beneficiary of that, that I do not deserve any of that. So thank You for being God with us today. I pray that whatever way You're leading each of us right now, I pray we choose to take the next step to follow You. And Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in You, Jesus, who right now feels that stirring, that conviction, that ought to, I pray that right now where they're at, seated or at home, that they choose to quietly do that. That right now they confess their need for a Savior because their sin broke their relationship with You. They declare, Jesus, they believe You are the Savior of the world because of Your death and resurrection. And now they ask You to be their Savior. Right now they put their faith in You and ask You to be the forgiver of their sins and declare they want to follow You as the leader of their life, as their Lord. Lord, as they're praying that right now, I pray that they feel God with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking Him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, We believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.